Kate, my friend, and everyone, welcome to the Wonderfully Made Book Club. How's it going?
Hey, hi, Allie, my friend.
So good to see your face.
Likewise, I miss you.
Yeah, so how's it going? What are you up to these days?
Well, my life hasn't changed that much, honestly, since quarantine, because I homeschool. And I basically have like a triangle in my life. I go from like my house to Rincon. Okay, it's a square. My house to Rincon to Trader Joe's to church. That's like all I do. So we took like church out, sadly, and Trader Joe's is like every 3 weeks. So I still go to Rincon though. But I have a very like mellow life anyway.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. That's a good place to be for sure. So, yeah. Okay, so I was wondering, I have a couple important questions before we dive into the meat of our conversation. The first is, are you wearing real pants today?
I came this close to not, and then I was like, what if? Like, but it is the first time. Okay, I'm going to show y'all. I got some Levi's, okay? Came this close to not wearing real pants. You know, it could be all business on top and all party on the bottom, or all pleasure or lounge or whatever. But I did this for you and for all the readers because I love you all so much. I put real pants on for you. What about you, Allie?
You know what? I've got some real pants, but they're like pull-up pants. So they, I got them on sale from Free People. So it's like they're pants, but you just pull them right up, kind of like yoga pants, basically. So. Yeah, but I almost put on my Levi's, my high-rise Levi's, which Paul calls my mom jeans, which anyways, I won't get into that. He's not sure about them, but I like them.
Well, I'm wearing men's Levi's, so it's
really?
Not, yeah, I buy men's Levi's from thrift stores.
Really?
I do. It's not as constricting as the women's, and they're about $4, so win-win.
That's great. And what has been your favorite go-to snack during this time?
Oh, the pressure of a snack. I have cleaned my diet up in the last few months because it's wise and we all should for many reasons. And this is going to sound so creepy, but I truly crave kale. I don't snack a lot anymore.
Kale.
I promise you, like, I get so excited about lunchtime. I'm like, oh, kale. I'm gonna have a kale salad and I'm gonna shave pecorino cheese and I'm gonna squeeze lemon all over it. It's gonna be so good. Lots of oil. Don't worry. I'm like, lots and lots of oil. But if I had to choose like a snack.
Yeah, kale does not count. I'm sorry.
It's a snack. It's definitely what I like crave and go to. Like,
that's awesome though. I mean, I wish I was that way.
You know what? When this thing lifts, come to my house. I'll make you a kale salad. We'll go for a hike. But I've been doing a lot of paleo baking. I have this favorite website called The Roasted Root, theroastedroot.net. You heard it here first. Amazing, like pumpkin bread, and I add lots of chocolate chips in it.
Oh, that sounds good.
Lots of paleo baking.
Okay, I would like to try that. I'm not much of a baker, but I would like to try that.
Okay.
So I decided I can no longer quarantine with chocolate. So,
oh
yeah. So the chocolate had to go and, yeah. So,
okay. But if we're going to talk like pre-quarantine, pre-cleaning up my diet, those Trader Joe's like knockoff Takis. Yes. Do you know Takis? Takis are like, I don't know. They're like rolled up tortilla chips with like spice and lemon.
Oh yeah.
Trader Joe's has a knockoff.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Pull back and then your mouth like gets all puckery and like you lose all the skin on the roof of your mouth and it's totally worth it.
That is awesome. I miss Trader Joe's. I have not been going. So, well, ladies, we want to welcome you here and we're so glad that you're here. And whether you are going to be reading Kate's latest book Here Now for the first time or the second time or the third time. This is just such, to me, such a refreshing read. And I'm like loving it even more the second time, really, just in light of all that's going on in our world. So I'm really excited that each of you are here. I want to thank you. And for those of you who are new to our community, to our ministry, which is called Wonderfully Made, I want to welcome you. And I just want to really quickly tell you a little bit about who we are, why we exist, and what we do. We are a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and our heart is for young women to help them know their God-given value and to live spiritually and emotionally healthy lives, and to just really thrive in a chaotic and a crazy world that tells women and girls a lot of lies. And so that is our heart. And what we do is we offer young women's conferences for girls as young as junior high, for a lot of high school girls, even college age 20 something young women, and our moms, the moms and mentors and youth leaders are always welcome and are a big part of our events. And we also have a podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes, just called Wonderfully Made Podcast. And we have a couple of Bible studies. I offer some local events. We were actually in the middle of planning a high school girls retreat in the valley where I live, which is postponed, of course. And we also have, several films, and Kate has actually been featured in one of the films. It's called Her Story. The series is called Her Story, where different women just share their testimonies. So, Kate has also spoken at two of our Anchored in Love conferences, which we partner with the professional surfer, Bethany Hamilton, and her foundation on. So that's just a little bit about who we are. So if you're a young woman, if you're a mom, if you're a mentor, a youth leader, you're in the right place, and we're glad that you're here, and you can learn more about us and see all of our resources, podcasts, films, Bible studies, store, everything, blog at wonderfullymade.org. So that's that. Now, Kate, for those in our book club who aren't familiar with you or your story, can you tell them just a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. wow, where do I start? I always go, when someone asks me this question, okay, just so you know, y'all who are reading, listening, this is just a conversation between friends, and there's going to be a lot of like silliness. So I never know where to start. I'm like, okay, well, when I was really little, like one time I built a fort in the woods, and so I never know where to start. But I'll just give y'all the most recent. So I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I've been married for almost 23 years, which is super weird because I'm only 25. So I don't know how that happened. It's so weird. It's so rad though. I love it. I'm married for almost 23 years. I have 3 children. I have a 19-year-old son and a daughter who would be 15, but she lives in heaven and she went there when she was 8. And then I have a 6-year-old fairy who lives. I promise you, she's a fairy. She can't be real. She's so precious. Her name is Fifi and she is, she's 6. I speak and write. I speak maybe like once or twice a month when things are not quarantined and on lockdown, travel and do that. And I've written 2 books, and I was a pastor's wife for 22 years. We have or 21 years, really. My husband's just retired, so I'm not officially a pastor's wife anymore, but I still feel like a mother to the 9 churches that we planted that are my heart, and I love them. They're called Reality. And what else? I like surfing. I like gardening. I like hiking. I'm really into nature journaling right now. I'm like,
wait, what? Nature journaling?
Yeah. So like I have this little watercolor notebook, and then like yesterday I took a picnic with Fifi, and then I pick a flower or whatever, a squirrel or whatever, and then I draw it and I watercolor it, and it's just like the most fun. I'm a pretty simple girl.
I love it. Anything else we should know?
Is there?
Well, I don't know. I would just say as your friend, I just really treasure you. I treasure our friendship. I feel like you are a very deep soul, with an awesome sense of humor and a great laugh. And I'm really glad and grateful for the way that you've been faithful and brave with your story. And, because so many of us women, get to be the recipients of that. And to read your words and to hear you speak. And for all that you've been through, I know it could have been so easy to insulate and isolate and not share those hard things and those beautiful things that you've learned through all of that. So I'm really excited for everyone in our little book club here to dive in and to get to receive those insights. So Kate, let's dive into just more about your book Here Now. And so as women dive into it, so basically we're going to be releasing this video tomorrow, April 22nd. And next Monday will be the week where we're encouraging everyone to read the first three chapters, and then it will go through 4 weeks, and then we'll have one more conversation as we close. So basically as women dive into Here Now for the first, the second, the third time, what do you hope your readers will take away, and especially in light of our current circumstances?
It's funny because I write with story. I tell my story, and through that story, my intention is that somebody can learn from that story, the good and the bad, you know, the victories where I crushed it and where I like totally lost it. But then also not just say, oh, that was Kate's story, but also be able to say, okay, that can be my story. And what does that look like for me for right now? And in that sharing of like really, like the little details, I mean, you know, I share the most random little things, but then I have this big picture. And so through all these random little stories, the big picture is that I want so badly for none of us to miss out on life, on whatever our season is. And that I know that even right now, I know that all of us, even before quarantine, we're not quite content with where we are right now. And I think sometimes because our right now is painful, our right now is, you know, a breakup, our right now is college will never end, our right now is my baby won't sleep, you know, or I can't find a husband, or I can't conceive, or whatever the right now is, there's gonna be some pain in everybody's season. But sometimes our right now is like really, really beautiful. It could be just straight up fun. And I feel like for me, that's my story right now. Like I have a really sweet right now. And I am at just as much danger of missing my current season as I could be, you know, during the season of cancer treatment with Daisy. And I think that we tend as human beings, we tend to kind of shield out, we try and self-protect, and I think with self-protecting we can just overload on media, we're just numb out, we can overload on food or alcohol or other substances, we can overload on even good things, you know, we can just like, nope, I'm just gonna shut everything out and, you know, have as much fun as I can. That tends to be sometimes my go-to. It's like, no, I just want to have fun. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, if that means anything to any of you listening. It's the need to pain. And so by me learning how to dive into my, not just my pain, but like my whatever, you know, the story of the book is, I'm not going to give it all away, but it's me learning to dive into my current circumstances, which were really, really rough, and what that looks like to take away all those, you know, numbing tendencies and really dive in and what that can look like. And I believe it looks a lot of different ways. It has a lot of facets. And so for the reader, the reason why I wrote this book, I mean, I didn't write it for I wrote it for you. I really want each one of you to be able to say, okay, this is my life right now. My life right now looks like loneliness. And God is going to do something in that loneliness. My life right now looks like, you know, opportunity, and God is going to do something in that opportunity. I want each one of you, because I believe that God has given each one of you a lot of purpose, and none of you is expendable. Each one of us is absolutely essential to our community. God considers us essential. We are wonderfully made. He has knit us together, knew us before we were born. And so if there's one thing that you get from this book is like, hey man, it's all about like what God has for me right now. How can I lay into that? And that's kind of what I mean by practicing presence, is like, how can I be present in that life? And I don't mean just like productivity. Sometimes it's time to be productive, but sometimes it's time to be silent, and that God is growing in that silence. God is growing us, you know, through whatever we're going through, with good or bad. And so that was a very long-winded answer to your question.
No, it was a really good answer. It wasn't long-winded at all. It's just a lesson. I feel like I need to reteach myself, you know, in every season and in every day. 'Cause life is, it's made of seasons, and they're intentional seasons, and there's really hard things in each of them. And there's really beautiful gifts waiting to be unveiled there too. So you touched upon this a little bit about the numbing out and the checking out, but why do you think it can be so easy to disconnect from our actual lives, especially in today's culture?
Yeah, today's culture, obviously we have every opportunity to check out.
Yeah.
A lot of times it becomes habit. I know that is so much easier to not face our problems, or even to not face our goodness. I mean, I'm not just talking, oh man, things are hard, I'm unemployed, or oh man, things are hard, this or that. Sometimes it is like weirdly so easy to check out when things are really, really beautiful. Our kids are, if you have small kids, oh my goodness, I've raised 3 small children. I get it, man. Like, they're the most magical, beautiful things in the world. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves looking to other things. I think that some of it is habit, and that's one thing that I feel like compelled to share, is like, come on girls, we can cut these habits. But also I think there's a lot of underlying factors. I think fear can be one of them. Like, that's why it's so hard. And if I don't think about it, it goes away, which is not true. I think trusting God is huge. And that is like, I don't trust God in my circumstances. I don't trust that God's gonna, you know, walk me through this. I think it's really scary for me. I got an answer no to my biggest prayer ever, which was to save Daisy's life. And so that's a trust issue for me. It's like, wow, God saw fit to say no. Like, what is that? And yet how can I trust God when he chose to take Daisy? And so I think so many of our tendencies of checking out are really multi-layered. It takes a lot of honesty. It takes a lot of like, okay, why am I doing this thing? Why do I continue to seek after the affirmation of strangers on my social media rather than look after my real life relationships with my husband, my boyfriend, my roommates, my parents, whatever it is? I think that we find it easier to look at other places. And I think that for each of us, it's going to be different. I think that we're all so, our personalities are also different. God has made each one of us different. We have different life experiences. And really what I want for all of you right now, before you really dive into the book, is like, ask God, like, all right, okay, God, what is it? I think it's chapter 2 that you're going to read about your baggage, and you'll hear my baggage. you'll get to explore your own baggage, but like, okay, Lord, I want to set out my baggage and I want you to tell me like why I have this baggage and what to do about it. If that makes any sense. Like, it's just, there's not one answer. It's like, it's different for each one of us. And I think that God is going to meet us there. And that's one of the things that I'm praying for my readers this month is like that if we can't be honest about why we do what we do, we can't work through that. We can't let the Lord into what he wants to do in our hearts. And so, you know, whether that's a trust issue or a fear issue, or whether you haven't gone through anything, I think for me, so many years of my life, I hadn't gone through anything like that hard. And so for me, it was like, I just wanted to keep things as they were, or I didn't believe that, you know, God could do anything good in pain. And so I didn't want to experience pain. And I do have to say, like, as an encouragement to all of you listening, is that don't fear suffering. Like, God can do really, really beautiful things in suffering. And like, it hurts. It really hurts. But like, God is so much bigger than that. And none of us are going to get by in life without suffering. And so if you are in a season of suffering, which many of you are right now, you really feel uncertain. You might have lost somebody recently, or you're in a lot of fear. I want you to meet, like, let God meet you there and meet it like head on.
Yeah, that's really good. I think your point about, you know, we all can disconnect from our lives for different reasons, and we can go to different things. We all have our, you know, drugs of choice, right? Whether it's actual drugs or food or overload on Netflix or whatever it may be. And I think something too that can be helpful and is to ask, like, God, you know, I love that verse. I think it is in Psalm 139 that says, search me and know me and test me and see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me. So, you know, asking God to show us those places that, that need his healing touch. And, and those places of suffering, they're not fun. They're really, really, really horrible, and none of us want to go through them, but yet, like you talk about, and like you have lived yourself through what you and your family have been through, you know, there are still good gifts in really, really hard places. So I believe right now we are all basically living a story that for most of us, we don't really want to live right now, just in light of what's going on in this with this current crisis. And we're being affected by varying degrees. You know, many people have lost their jobs, maybe have had loved ones pass away, or, you know, there's so much uncertainty just with the economy and what's going to go on. And so how can we show up for a life or a story that we just really don't want to live?
That's so good. I would say, first of all, in all honesty, when are we ever so content in life? Like, yeah. When you're like, okay, but how are you really? Like, well, if I could just get past this part, we're never really so content right now. Wait, will you reword your question again? Because I had a thought.
Yeah, so how can we show up for a life or a story that we don't want to live?
Yes. I think that if we don't accept God's will for our life, obviously it's not like, I'm not saying, oh, God made COVID happen. I'm just saying, like, this is life. Like, this is it. And so, like, a big acceptance can, like, is the beginning of like, okay, this is what it looks like. And then say, God, what are you going to do in it? And so I think for some people, it's going to look a lot different than others. I think some people, depending on your personality type, you're going to be like rallying and I'm sewing masks and I'm handing them out, you know, and that could be showing up for that person. And I think, you know, or the brand new homeschool mom, she's like, what? My kids are here. Like, Okay, well, accept it. Yeah, your kids are at home. What is it like to show up for that and not to just like wish it would go away? And I guarantee you, because I've lived it, that when we like agree to show up for it, first with perspective, that's when God does amazing things, and that's when our attitude changes. And I think that with a perspective shift, it gives us an attitude change. So you can look at quarantine like, oh, I don't get to eat my favorite restaurant. I don't get to do this. You can make a list 25 miles long. You know, my kids, they won't leave, you know. You could be so frustrated, or you could say, what is God giving me right now in this? Okay, God is giving me rest. God is giving me the opportunity to learn to cook. God has given me more time with my husband. God has given me more time, you know, with him and the word of God. All that time I was spending commuting to my job, now I'm home and I can, you know, like, I don't mean to just say, oh, just look on the bright side, because I know it can sound like that, but I'm saying when we choose, like whatever we choose to see is what we're going to see. And a lot of us naturally are not going to like lean toward that. A lot of us, I think, are naturally going to more look at what we're missing. And that's when we're saying, okay, Lord, will you help me? Will you show me to see what you have for me here? And then to accept that. And part of that looks like, refusing, you know, your defense mechanisms, or you're checking out. So that means, okay, I can't see if I'm constantly watching Netflix. I'm not going to be able to see what God has for me here. Or I can't hear God speak if there's a podcast going in my ears 24/7. Because God is not going to scream above that noise. If you have the news on 24/7, if you're listening to what people are saying, which, let's be honest, what percentage of what we hear is actually true? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to throw out a number, but it's pretty low. Okay. I'm just going to guess it's a pretty low number. So we're going to listen to people speculate all day long. We can't get into that place of accepting like where we're at and what God wants to do with us. And so I would say, like, turn down the noise, man. Like, let God's whispers come through. Go for a hike, go outside. And that's going to look different for everyone. I have a friend named Jen. She's like, we were FaceTiming the other day. She's like, do I hear birds? Is that birds I hear? I'm like, yeah, I'm outside. She's like, oh, birds. Like, they freak her out. And I'm like, that's okay. You don't have to like birds. You don't have to like the outdoors. But let things be quiet. Turn something off. Turn off your phone notifications. Turn off, you know, whatever it is. And you know how weirdly it's so easy right now to overschedule, even though like we always find something to like fill the cracks. Don't fill your cracks. Just let them be. And like, you know, don't do Zoom meetings all day. Like maybe one a day, or if you have to do work on Zoom, like, okay, call it a day. Maybe just be alone. Maybe just be quiet. But I think if we don't give our brains and our hearts and our souls spaces to listen to God and what he has for us right now, we won't be able to hear it. And then it's impossible.
Yeah, that's really important. And that's something I was just processing through. And I think in one of our newsletters, which hopefully doesn't come across as too much noise, but you can always unsubscribe. So, you know, I was talking with my friend and she was basically saying, you know, like, I don't even know what to think or like how to cope. And I'm just getting all these emails with recipe ideas and activities and online Bible studies and this and that. And, you know, she was like, I just had to grab all my devotions, all my Bible studies, unsubscribe, put everything away, and just pick up my Bible. And I was like, you know, like this is our time. Like a lot of things in our lives aren't there right now. And we do have more time and we do have more space. And it's an opportunity to discover strength in solitude, in stillness, and in quiet before God. And so I love what you're saying. And And when all this happened and went started to go down, I just repicked up your book, and I had been wanting to do like a book club with the Wonderfully Made for a while. And I was like, this is so timely, you know, like it's a timeless message, your book, no matter what's going on in the world. It's just really important about how to practice peace and unearth peace and practice presence. But if we can just get quiet and still, and, you know, solitude is one of those things that is like, can be really uncomfortable and really awkward and even painful at times. But I mean, even researchers have done studies that people who can be alone and be in quiet and be still are so much more mentally healthy. And so this is like an opportunity, you know, to do that if you can. You know, I know there's frontline workers that are, it's just a whole nother story right now, but I love what you're saying about that, about silencing the noise. And I said, you know, unfollow, mute, unsubscribe, like, you know, just make room for more stillness and for more quiet. So
yeah, that's one of my biggest, like, most fun favorite things to do is unfollow and subscribe. Well, not unfollow, but like I'm not even on social, but I do a lot of that. And it's weird how like every single thing that comes in your house, whether it's an item you purchased or an email you signed up for, and this includes mine, because I know a lot of you came on because I invited you, which I'm so happy. That's so fun. If you're like, you know what? I just don't need this in my inbox. But every single thing that comes in, you are spending time and brain energy to decide what to do with it. Do I read this email? Is it marketing? Do I buy something? You know what I mean? And so like the fewer we allow in, and sometimes you just have to do a cleanup, just like I cleaned up my diet at the, you know, just a few months ago. It's going to get sloppy again in a matter of who knows how long. By Christmas, I'll be like, all right, clean up my diet. I mean, all of us do. And that's okay. We'll be like, oh, you know what? I have subscribed to like 52 podcasts. This is a podcast. I'm going to unsubscribe because every time my phone says, do you want to listen to this? I have to make a decision. Or, you know, if you're like me, I feel like pressure. If I feel the pressure to read it or the pressure to listen, or like, let yourself go, like turn that, you know, just give yourself permission to just listen to what God listens to. And I love that your friend did that. And just, you know what, let's just read the pure word of God. And I feel like that is, that's a great way to start over, turn it all off, dial it all down, the pure word of God. And just like, you're going to read about Sabbath in my book. I love that Sabbath is like a weekly reset. And like, here I am doing, like, we do like an annual diet reset, or I don't know how often we would do like a media reset. But in Israel, to the Hebrews, God is like, you reset every single week. And I think we would do well to reset every single week, whether that's, you know, just deciding what we let in and, you know, calming down. And it doesn't have to be boring. I think Sabbath can be actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. What, may I ask you, Kate, what Sabbath, I don't want to spoil the book, but you know, you write about your experience with Sabbath when you went to the Holy Land. And I wasn't planning on asking you this question, but what does Sabbath look for you these days?
I think it's different all the time. I am a very not, that's what I'm looking for. You know, some people are like, oh yeah, I wash in the shower the same every time. You know what I mean? Like I do my face and then I do it. I am always different. I'm not a structured person. I'm kind of all over the place. So I don't have first I do this and then I do this and then I do this. I just don't. And it could be on a different day. And it might be like a half a day this week and a half a day that week. I definitely make a few decisions that are like turning off my ringer on my phone. Sabbath can look like that. It can look like I'm not going to do anything today that has anything to do with working, bill paying, and you know, work managing the home or work with writing and speaking things, or, you know, it can look like that. I'm just going to let that go. It definitely, yeah, it looks different all the time, but I think that that's another kind of like honesty thing before the Lord is like, okay, God, what do you want for me for Sabbath? And where do I need to trust you? Because I ultimately believe that comes back to trusting God. And for the Israelites, it was, hey, you guys, don't work one day a week. Trust me with your work. Trust me that you're going to have enough to eat. And so I'm like, okay, well, where do we need to trust God and rest? And some of us, we need to trust God and rest by, you know, dialing back the noise, turning off media all day. For somebody else, watching a movie and taking a nap is rest for them. Rest for me looks like a beach day, like 100%. Like, you leave your phone at home. I'm posted up at the beach. I've got my nature journal. I love my scripture journals. I have these.
Your kale.
My what?
Kale.
My kale. I do. I actually brought kale with me yesterday, which is so creepy. Yeah. Next time we talk, maybe in a month, I'll be like, okay, I'm really into hot dogs. Okay. Like, we are top. Who knows? This one I'll be into. But yeah, so I think that's like the heart of the matter is, God, where do you need me to trust you, and what does rest in that area look like? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, when you think about Sabbath initially, you don't really tie a connection to trust in God. At least I don't. But when I was reading your take on it, it's a really profound concept for sure. So yeah. And I think that's an area I know in my personal life, I need to make some more room just for rest to really obey God and then really take that Sabbath. So, go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's really important. He says, I want you to release striving. So it's like, oh, well, am I striving after money? Am I striving after payment? Am I, you know, what am I striving for right now? And then it's like, okay, how do I let God into that thing? I mean, I guess I just said, my son is always like, yeah, Mom, you just said that in like 5 different ways. I'm like, okay. So I guess I just did that to you guys right now. So release striving.
Yeah. So, do you have, any last thoughts for your readers as they dive into the book, as we close our kickoff interview with you? I know we're going to have one more interview where we're going to answer some reader questions, but do you have any other final thoughts before?
I think first of all, I feel really honored that y'all would read my book. That's huge. Like, you're reading my book. That's huge. I am so thankful. I think it's really special. I'm letting you guys in. I'm kind of a private person on one hand, but then on the other, I'm like, no, I'll tell you everything. Like, I got no shame at all. But it's really, I'm letting you guys into my heart and letting you guys into my life, and with the hopes of like getting to see you guys go big and, you know, in whatever God has for you. Going big in my language means like, yeah, you know, I'm so present in my relationship that my relationship went huge, or I was so present in what God wanted me to do that like I saved all these slaves from trafficking, or whatever it is. Like, I don't mean, I don't know what I mean. I'm really honored that you guys would read my book. I'm really honored to let you into a really sacred space. I think that what I went through was like pretty heavy. And I think if I can let you into that space, then hopefully you can let someone else into your space. And when I look at the Word of God and I read about all the women in there, I realize like, wow, they went through some really heavy stuff. And then I see how God worked through their lives, and then I get encouraged. And so if you guys can see how God worked through my life and get encouraged, like, then like done. But I'm honored and thankful, and I hope it blesses you. If you get totally sick of my writing, that's fine. The first book I wrote, I offer the reader to throw it against the wall. If you're like, you know what, I'm No, I'm over you. Like, you can totally throw my book against the wall. Don't write me an email about it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just going to be praying for you guys over the next month to really just receive what God has for you, because it's for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kate. And so, ladies, before you dive into the first three chapters of Here Now, in the email where we send you the link to this interview are some journaling questions. So if you can, really encourage you to set aside